Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo. Listen to audio extracts from this exciting companion to 2B Acting Selective Interactive Video Production, now showing on InView. If you enjoy adventures, conspiracy theories, and a gripping story, then this podcast is for you. Updated every 2 weeks. This extract from the Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo book is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, incidents and dialogues are products of the artist's imagination and should not be considered in any way as facts. Any resemblance to life or people, living or dead, events or theories is entirely coincidental. Visit 2bacting.com for information about the Space Vorilex Selective Interactive Video and how to obtain a copy of the book. Extract summary: the main character, Misha, is poised to take a drastic step that will end her life as she knows it. Before she does, she documents the events that has led to her decision. Her story starts where she is called to the hospital after her girlfriend, Kimigo, unexpectedly falls into a coma. After a day of surreal happenings, a stranger, looking identical to her girlfriend, enters her life. However, Misha's distrust of the stranger results in them being chased by unknown assailants. They must rely on her to save their lives. In this podcast, on the run from unknown assailants, Misha, Christina, and the stranger are trapped and have to take a leap of faith to escape. Chapter 3, Part 2, Escape.
Carrying our backpacks, we walk together, almost hidden by the shadows of the surrounding buildings. Late evening, there is no one on the back roads. Not familiar with this part of town, we rely completely on the stranger for navigation. Where are we going? Our limbs are weary, mostly from hunger. To see the professor. Is it far? I'm hungry and tired. Christina speaks for us both. The stranger stops, rummages through her pouch, then takes from it a tube-like container, indicating for us to hold out our hands. The tube dispenses a small tablet into each of our palm. This will refresh you until we reach safety. It looks like a breath mint. We look at each other, convinced she clearly doesn't understand what is meant by hungry and tired. However, that is a mistake, for within minutes of the tablet being swallowed, I feel lighter. Excess energy surges through my body. The craving for food disappears. Christina and I begin to laugh. We playfully push each other, starting a game of tag. Unbelievable, we swing our backpacks around as we walk behind the stranger, like 10-year-old kids on the way back from school. Time passes quickly when you're having fun. We stop outside a seedy-looking block of apartments. A dirty aged neon sign hangs above the door. Its dim orange light says, "Hotel Barclay." Is this it? I'm not staying here. She would have asked us to wait outside, but it was obvious we were in no condition to be left alone. Entering, we follow closely, as instructed. She heads straight for the stairs, opposite the front reception. Halfway up, we are shouted at by a voice from behind the desk. It is an overweight, unshaven man, wearing a not-so-white sleeveless vest. "Are you three hookers? What room? It's higher rates for that sort of thing here." Ignoring him, we continue, listening to his fading voice as we ascend. "You'll pay when you come down." The third floor landing is as filthy as all the other landings we passed. The grime-filled carpet is sticky, threatening to glue the soles of our shoes to the floor with every step. At the end of the corridor on the left, splinters of wood lay everywhere. Reaching what the stranger said was the professor's apartment, the broken door half hung from its hinges. Slowly walking into the room, we are greeted by chaos. Bed upturned on its frame, with the mattress torn to shreds. Its foam inside scattered everywhere. The four chest of drawers pulled out, with their contents of clothing ripped apart. Little is left of the once tall wardrobe, hacked into pieces. Christina and I walk among the mess, not focusing on the frantic movement of the stranger. "What happened here?" My question is not what roots her to the spot. Something else does that. It's like she heard a voice. She stares at the ceiling, then moves her head from side to side like she is listening before turning to look at us. Asking us to keep watch out of the two windows, she continues what is obviously a search for something in the room. Surely, the person who ransacked the place found it, as there seems nowhere left for anything to remain hidden. Doing as asked, I choose the window facing onto a side alley to peer out of. Where is the professor? Talking does not slow the stranger's search. Reaching the far corner of the room, she crouches, running her hand over scratch marks on the wooden floor. She pulls up a board with one tug. How strong is she? He is safe. How do you know? Walking across, she hands me the piece of torn-up floorboard. Turning it over, there is chalk writing, with the words, "A change in light." What is this? A clue. He likes clues. What does it mean? A change means a switch. What we need to find him is in the light switch. Moving to the entrance wall, she yanks off the light switch. Inside the exposed hole, she retrieves a small metal box. Clever. The electric wires would have hidden it from their scanners. How strong are you? Does that not hurt? You literally punched through that wall. Christina's amazed questions are just a few of the thousand others needing to be answered. However, at that moment, I alert the stranger to a car pulling into the alley. We all peer out of the unwashed window pane to see a female driver step out, followed by two floating silver spinning discs. We have to go. Unbelievably, as the discs separate, they each produce a human skeleton-like frame, which is then covered in a yellow light. In a blink, the light disappears, leaving two human figures, dressed in black suits. One male and one female. Fully dressed, they look like ordinary people. It all happened in a moment, the reverse of what happened with the car. Their movements are synchronized, as together their heads turn to stare up at the window, right at us, before they start running towards the building's entrance. We have to go. Now! No, you don't. Look at this mess. Blocking the doorway is the overweight slob of a man, the receptionist that greeted us when we entered. Saw you on the cameras in the hall. Thought you'd get away with doing this to my room, did you? There is no time. With ease, the stranger pushes him out of the way. Hastily, we follow her out of the room. Reaching the landing, rather than going down, we run up the stairs. To our surprise, the big man gives chase. You can't get away from up there. There is no escape ladder on this building. If he is right, then this getaway is going to end soon. Glancing back, I witness the man's encounter with the first of those things from the car. His effort to stop the woman is met by a punch to his oversized gut. Her hand sinks right in, bursting through flesh, causing his stomach to explode. Blood, intestine, and fat splatter the walls as she removes her fist. She lifts his body like a rag doll, tossing it over the banister. You must trust me. The stranger talks as we run, barging non-stop through the door leading to the roof. Our momentum does not slow, we have to jump. No. She's not going to make us fly like the car, is she? Surely she's aware that we do not have gravitation adjusters. In my mind, I see us smash to the ground, the same way the cars that were following us did. She grabs a strap on each of our backpacks, which fortunately we secured tightly to our backs before coming in. At full pace, we reach the edge of the building, just as two of our pursuers exit onto the roof. It takes faith, not trust. The leap into thin air feels impossibly foolish, yet we do it, without hesitation. Screaming, I join Christina in her cry, as we fall from this 10-floor building. Once again, amazement, the fall is controlled, landing us gently on our feet. Only Christina's knees buckle on touching the ground. That's too much. I'm not moving. Leave me. Looking up, we see our two friends peer over the edge. They turn back. Can they not jump like you? Yes, they can, but in the air they know they will be vulnerable to my counter-attack. Instead, they rely on their third to delay us. A good strategy, leaving one outside the hotel. Already she runs towards us. Turning to face the approaching assailant, the stranger already has in her hand the device she used to vanish the car. The yellow light hits the woman, turning her first to a skeleton, before she blinks out. Only a floating silver disc remains, which stops spinning, then drops. Quickly, our protector runs over to stomp on it. Let's go. We run as fast as we can across an open car park, disappearing behind the vehicles, out onto a main road. Running with the energy from the pills lets us keep pace with this superwoman. We don't stop until we reach the entrance to the underground trains. She takes out the silver box, found hidden behind the light switch, and hand badges to us both. Your image will not be captured by any cameras whilst you wear this. We all take a moment to pin on our badge. Now, let's find the professor.
That is the end of the extract for this podcast. In the next podcast, another extract from the Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo book. Avoiding Detection by Devices in Human Form, Misha, Christina, and the Stranger follow cryptic directions in an attempt to find the professor. Podcast narrated by AI-generated voices, Ryan and Sonia. Note, the extracts may not accurately reflect the words contained in the published book. For more information, visit 2bacting.com or be part of this exciting adventure by playing the Space Vorilex Selective Interactive video, now showing on 2B Acting's InView channel.